The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times. Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all of his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he had paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants had seen what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Perhaps you heard of this fascinating way to trap a monkey. You take an enticing lure, maybe a sumptuous piece of fruit. You place it inside a container that's securely anchored. The container has an opening in it just large enough for the monkey to slip his hand through and grab the prize. However, the opening is also just small enough that once the monkey has the fruit in hand, he's unable to get his hand back out of the container. So the only way he can get out of this predicament is to let go of the fruit. And therein lies the monkey's dilemma. For as much as he would like to be free, he really wants that banana too. And as he becomes stubbornly bent on not letting go of the fruit, he is paradoxically trapped, by his own free will no less, and he soon falls victim to the hunter. Despite holding the object of his desire in his hands, he will never be satisfied by it, and he remains trapped only by his unwillingness to just let it go. We may shake our heads today at the hapless monkey, but if we're not careful, we too can easily fall victim to a similar spiritual trap. Today, our scripture readings lead us for the second week in a row into the very important and often very difficult subject of forgiveness, which might beg the question, why? Why such an emphasis on forgiveness? Well, there are at least 2 big reasons. First, rather unique among the world religions, forgiveness is a central tenet of our Christian faith. Our whole redemption is wrapped in the mercy of God. Forgiveness is spoken of well over 100 times in Scripture. Secondly, forgiveness is also a critical component to healing. The healing of broken relationships with our God, with each other, and even within ourselves. For true reconciliation to take place, forgiveness is not just a nice to have, it is indeed a prerequisite. Complete healing simply cannot occur without it. The problem is, of course, that forgiveness can be a very difficult thing for us to live out. We live in a sinful world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as we read in Romans 3:23. And when you take 7.5 billion sinners and turn them loose on planet Earth, goaded on by Satan to boot, well, it doesn't take long for us to start hurting one another. By our actions, by our words, sometimes quite unintentionally, and other times we know full well. And when someone hurts us, our instinctive response is, it's payback time. Yes, and the more you hurt me, the more I'm going to hurt you. Whether in direct confrontation or passive aggression, behind the scenes gossiping or a cold shoulder, or a myriad of other things that I might think of, bottom line is, I will have my revenge. You will suffer for what you did to me. On a macro scale, this has led to wars between countries and cultures, but closer to home, it can also wreak havoc on our friendships, in our families, in our workplace, in our parish. And right where our gut instinct is to strike back, Jesus calls us to forgive. Even weaving it into the prayer he taught us that we pray together at every Mass, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our reluctance to forgive reminds me of what Jesus said a couple of weeks ago when he chastised Peter, "You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." God's radical mercy is indeed difficult for us to process, yet he commands us to follow his lead. And so our gospel reading begins today with Peter asking Jesus, rather innocently, I think, just how many times are we to forgive somebody? As many as 7 times, he asked, which probably seemed rather generous. Jesus says, "No, Peter, not just 7 times, 77 times. Now, 77 times is not to be taken literally. Offense number 78 does not mean it's open season on all offenders. It's an ancient Hebrew expression meaning always. We find it several places in Scripture as early as Genesis chapter 4. At any rate, Jesus is telling Peter that we are to forgive always without end. Then, seeking to drive the point home, Jesus offers the parable of the unmerciful servant, in which the king forgave the debt of a servant who owed him, quote, a huge amount. Freed from his debt, the servant then turned around and refused to forgive the debt of a fellow servant who owed him a much smaller amount. The Greek translation gives us a more detailed accounting. The huge amount owed to the king was actually 10,000 talents. One talent alone is worth 15 to 20 years of wages for a laborer. So 10,000 talents, we're talking many thousands of years of wages. Almost an impossibility to pay back. Contrast this with the quote-unquote much smaller amount owed to the servant of 100 denarii. One denarius was a one day's labor or wage for a laborer. So we're talking about 3 months' pay, maybe a little more. So thousands of years of debt versus a few months of debt. Jesus is showing us the huge disparity between the forgiveness of our God and the forgiveness of man. God forgave a debt of sin owed by mankind that we could never hope to repay. And yet, like the unmerciful servant, we are often at each other's throats over things that may require some patience, yes, but that are often trivial in the grand scheme of things. Suffice it to say that for followers of Jesus, the days of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth are over. The mercy shown by the king is expected to be carried forward by its servants. We are called, if you will, to pay it forward. So what is forgiveness? It is, as the gospel perfectly illustrates with the king, "I release you from your debt to me, regardless of how great." Vice the "pay me back what you owe, regardless of how small." Forgiveness is stepping outside of the vengeful cycle of a tit-for-tat retribution. "In my heart, I am no longer holding this against you." Oftentimes, when trying to define something, it can be helpful to say what it isn't. To forgive someone does not mean forgive and forget, that you won't remember the incident. It doesn't mean that it's okay what they did to you, that you in any way condone it. It doesn't mean that you're not still wounded or scarred. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can now trust that person again. And indeed, depending on the circumstances, it may not be prudent to trust that person again. It does not necessarily mean that you have this feeling of forgiveness. You may or you may not, but forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a conscious decision despite your emotion. So what's the big deal? Why does Jesus set such a high bar on this forgiveness thing? And it's simple, really, because unforgiveness, vengefulness, holding on to that grudge is inherently divisive, and it is a barrier against healing. Where there is division, very often Satan is lurking. He who provoked the hurtful action in one then seeks to agitate the wound in the other, keeping it alive and festering, stoking the flames of resentment, thus ensuring division and a lack of reconciliation. And so Jesus rightly challenges us to forgive. In Matthew chapter 5, he says that before bringing our gifts to the altar, we should first go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come back. How often are we quick to apologize to God and ask for forgiveness, and yet how slowly, if ever, do we apologize and seek reconciliation with each other? Why do we often apologize to God for treating somebody poorly, but then we do not then go and apologize to the person that we offended? We reconcile with God, and that's great, but we rarely reconcile with each other, and that's not so great. Then in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes so far as to say that unless you forgive the sins of others, your Father will not forgive you. Wow. Now, I don't think Jesus means this as some kind of an ultimatum or a spiritual threat. Do this or else. I think it's simply speaking to a spiritual reality. Just as light and darkness cannot fill the same room, forgiveness and unforgiveness, mercy and vengefulness cannot fill the same heart. The graces and gifts we receive from our God are intended to fill us and flow through us to others, much like a watering can. And if our watering can is full of mud, well, it can't be filled with water. Jesus has taught us, give and it shall be given. Today he reminds us, forgive and it shall be forgiven. Is it easy? Nope, not even maybe. Certainly not at first. But the Holy Spirit compels us this morning to let it go. I challenge you before you leave here today to examine your heart for any unforgiveness, any grudge, any vengefulness, and then make the conscious decision to let it go. Father, I release them from my debt. I will no longer harbor this resentment in my heart. I will no longer be seeking retribution. Do this and allow the light of Christ to illuminate your heart. Do this and the door will be open to healing and the reconciliation of broken relationships. Let it go, or by your own free will, like our conflicted monkey, you will remain perilously trapped. And what a victory that would be for the hunter of souls.